I'll start out with good morning to all of you. If you brought your Bible with you, you can open it. If you, well, maybe I have to be technologically correct, you can open up your cell phone to the New Testament. Some people do that. I am not one of them, but some people have that capability and wisdom and knowledge that God didn't give me yet. So we're going to be in the book of Ephesians today. We're going to finish up the epistle that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. We're in chapter 6, and we are called today by the Lord to stand. We're called by the Lord to stand. Stand! Hey, somebody heard him. No, okay. We sing a song, stand up for Jesus, right? But anyway, sooner or later, every single believer in Christ discovers that the Christian walk is really a battleground. We face an enemy who is so much stronger than we are, apart from God. So if you're with the Lord, you're safe. And Paul has been chained to a Roman soldier for quite a while now. And he's really familiar with the equipment that that soldier wore and what they were used for. And so he takes that, and he intertwines it into the closing remarks to the Ephesian Christians. He's talking to Christians here, you and me. And so we face three immediate enemies being Christians. We face the world. That's a big one right there. We face the flesh. That's the bigger one. And we face the devil. Oh, yeah. Now, the world refers to the system around us that is opposed to God's will. It caters to the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, lust of the pride. You've heard that so many times. But the devil uses those three because they're so effective. Society, apart from God, simple but accurate definition of the world. It's everything out there that is against God. And sometimes it's your job. And you've got to really struggle about it. And you've got to be strong. And we're going to see that. Now, the flesh, we know that. That's our old nature. And every one of us inherited that free of charge from Adam. So here we are, chapter 6 of Ephesians. We're going to start, because I did a couple chapters last week, verses. We're going to look at the similarity between the Roman weapons and equipment that he wore in our Christian walk. Verse 10 is where I'm going to start reading. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. The complete armor of God. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now verse 12, here it is. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Any servicemen here or ex-servicemen? One, two, one. All right. In the armed forces, there's a force that is called the Intelligence Corps. And their purpose is to gather information about the enemy. And it is very vital in war because it enables the officers that are in charge of us grunts, because I wasn't an officer, but it gives them information about the enemy. Now, just like them, we. Unless we know who our enemy is and where he is and what he's capable of doing, we're going to have a very difficult time defeating him. But that's no reason to be caught off guard, because all throughout God's word here, Old Testament, New Testament, all throughout this whole book, cover to cover, the Lord instructs us about our enemy. And our enemy, the devil. And that's where Paul's going today. The first thing you have to know about this guy is that he goes by many different names. So that's meant to confuse you. Yes, he goes by the devil. Okay, a lot of people know that. Devil means accuser. You look in Revelations 2, it says, he, the devil, is the accuser of the brethren. Day and night, before the throne of God. That goes right in hand with the scripture I read. Wickedness in heavenly places. He's up there now, like he was when the Lord let him inflict pain on Job. He had to get God's permission. So sometimes he's up there asking permission. No, that guy Ken, he's not a goody shoes. Take your blessing away from him and he'll surely stumble and fall. He's up there accusing us. He's a sinner, Lord. He doesn't deserve salvation. Well, he's right on that behalf. I am a sinner. But the Lord Jesus has taken every single one of my sins on him and given me his righteousness. He's also called Satan. And Satan means adversary. He's an adversary to God. He's an adversary to every single believer. And in Matthew, he's called the tempter. Now, contrary to your sometimes thinking, to be tempted is not a sin. Jesus was tempted, but he didn't sin. So even though we get tempted, if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. We don't sin. He's a murderer. He's a liar. That's his biggest thing. He's a liar. Peter compares him to a roaring lion. But beware, because he doesn't always appear as a roaring lion. He can appear as an angel of light. And so an unsuspecting believer who may not know God's word, because they haven't studied it or read it very much, would think, oh, I'm being visited by an angel. And listen to him. So unless we know the truth, we can't discern the lie. If you're a bank teller, in order for you to know a counterfeit bill, they teach you how to recognize the real money. That's all you handle, is real bills. Brand new ones, old wrinkled ones, ones that went through the laundry, ones that were found in a stream. And you know the feel of real money, so that when a fake one comes up, oh, wait a minute, that don't feel right. So we have to know the truth. Do you know where Satan came from? He came from heaven. He came from heaven. Read about it in Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. It says, prophet is talking, how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, now this is why he was cut down from heaven. I will descend. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And yet the prophet says, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, the lowest depths of the pit. Did you hear all the I's in there? We sin when we start using I a little bit too much. King Nebuchadnezzar did that. King Nebuchadnezzar, after he was warned, walked around his kingdom and says, oh, look at the kingdom I have established and built. And before he finished talking, he was cast out into the wilderness like an animal. And Satan was cast down from heaven because of that pride and his desire to occupy the throne of God. And since Satan is a created being, he doesn't have the knowledge and the activity that God has. He's not all-knowing. He's not all-powerful. He's not all-present everywhere. He can only be in one spot at a time. Now, that being all true, how does he get so much done? He has lots of helpers. Lots of helpers. The Apostle John hinted at this in Revelation when he wrote, one third of the angels fell with Satan when he rebelled against God. Now, one third of, in the Old Testament, where it says there were innumerable amount of angels, which means we can't count that many. So he has one third of a number that we can't count working for him. In fact, Daniel, if you read the book of Daniel, Daniel writes that Satan's angels struggle with God's angels for control of the nations. And that's why it took the angels so long to get to Daniel. It took him 21 days. He was fighting a demon. So what is very, very real is there is a spiritual war going on in this world and in the heavenlies. And you and me, we are right in the middle of it. We're not sitting on the sideline watching it on the big screen. We are right there. So our battle is not against human beings. You're not fighting against your boss. You're not fighting against your spouse. You're not fighting against your child, and your child's not fighting against you. The battle is against spiritual powers, and so you are just wasting your time fighting these people on the earth when you should be fighting against the devil. Now, when Paul was in Ephesus and he was ministering to the people and establishing a church and all, you read about it in Acts 19 where there was a big riot that came about. That was caused spiritually by the devil. And he is a strong enemy. And so we need the power of God in order to stand against him. And do not, I don't repeat myself, but do not underestimate the power of the devil. He's not compared to a lion and a dragon just to make fun of him. Jesus calls him a thief who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And not only is he strong, he's wise and he's subtle. Genesis talks about him in chapter 3. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. Which is why verse 11 that I read says we fight against the wiles of the devil. And wiles means cunning, very crafty. We can't afford to be ignorant of his schemes. How many people have been tricked by a scammer or some sort? They are sneaky. Paul used in verse 12 the word wrestle. I know we have... Did you ever wrestle? No. Well, my grandson did, but he's not here. But he used that word wrestle because he's indicating to every one of us that this is a hand-to-hand combat we're in. We're not fighting from a distance. When I was in Vietnam, I was on this great big artillery gun. So I was shooting shells a long ways away where the enemy was. That's not the case with Satan. We are right in the thick of it, hand to hand. And Satan will use our external enemies, the world. He will use our internal enemies, the flesh. And he'll use those against us to defeat us. And he's very good at what he does. He's been doing it for thousands of years. So how do we prepare for this battle? You have to prepare. That's what the ending of chapter 6 is all about. Preparing to do battle with Satan. Paul says, be strong in the Lord. And in his might, we're going to face many enemies in our Christian walk. And none of us have the strength all alone to be victorious. And so the solution is to be strong in the Lord. He's the mighty one. He's the one that wins the battles. And I know it's true, because if you read Scripture, let's jump over to 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. We have the story of Jehoshaphat, king. And all of a sudden, he's got these people coming against him, Moab and Ammon and a whole bunch of others and the Ammonites. And they figure they're going to go take on Jehoshaphat. And he stands in the assembly of Jerusalem, and he prays. Yeah, he prays. He says, I love this prayer. He says, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to stand against you? And so God answers them. What does God say to him? Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't worry about all that great multitude out there. He says, Jehoshaphat, the battle is not yours. It's mine. What a powerful blessing that is. You don't have to fight that battle with your boss. It's God's battle. In fact, in verse 17, he's talking to Jehoshaphat. He says, you will not even need to fight. Just position yourself and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Same thing he told Moses. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he parted the Red Sea. So right now, in your heart, bring up those battles you're facing. Don't tell them to me. Bring them up in your heart for the Lord. And I want you to believe this. Honestly, do you really think the battle that you're facing is too big for the Lord to handle? Because one of my life verses in the Bible, you should all have life verses, is Genesis 18:14. Sarah is about 90 years old. And God tells Abraham, you're going to have a son. And Sarah laughs. And God says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And I keep that in my mind when I'm struggling. Our scripture today tells us, well, actually it commands us, stand strong in the Lord and believe in the power of his might. Which means I have to go to another testimony, because these are true testimonies, and it is 2 Kings. It is verse 14, Hezekiah, another king. And he's holding this letter from Sennacherib. And he doesn't tear it up, and he doesn't sweat over it. He brings it into the house of the Lord and he throws it down on the floor in front of the altar. And you know the story. 185 soldiers were wiped out in one night by one angel. One! Is anything too hard for the Lord? God is the same yesterday. Back then when he wiped out those soldiers. Back then when he saved Jehoshaphat. Just watch me. He's the same back then. He's the same today. He's going to be the same tomorrow. That's why it's so important for us to read everything that God's done. So that we know it. We know those promises and we can call them up. He promises he will never abandon us. Ever. Ever, ever. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's look what else Paul says to the Ephesians in verse 13. He tells them, okay, now I just told you about the devil. I told you about who you're fighting, where he is, and what he's capable of doing. So therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And verse 14, stand, therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Anybody ever have a sheriff come to their door? When they respond, they dress in the appropriate attire for what they're going to have to encounter. Firemen. Talk to Jeff there. When a fireman goes to a fire, look at all the stuff he puts on to protect him and to prepare him to battle the blaze. And just like these Roman soldiers going out to war, they put on everything they need and take everything that they require to fight. And since we are fighting against enemies of the spirit world, a gun and a knife and a sword is no good to us. We need special equipment. We need special equipment for offense, and we need special equipment for defense. And praise God, He's provided everything that we need for protection and for attack. And we dare not omit any one part of it. That's why Paul says, when you get up in the morning, put on the whole armor of God. All of it. Because Satan's going to look for that one spot in you that is unguarded, unprotected. And he can get in there with a toehold. And then he can pry that open and attack. So take the weapons. Stand firm, knowing that Christ has already conquered Satan. He's already been beat. The day is evil, yeah. The enemy is evil, yeah. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can fight against the Lord? Now, I emphasized a little bit reading that, because we are told to stand. We're not told to run away and retreat. Yeah, we're told the devil is strong. He's crafty. He's sneaky. He's powerful. But God's more powerful. And so we're told to stand. Stand against those wiles of the devil. Stand in the evil day. Having done everything you have, meaning put on the whole armor of God, stand. And then 14, he says, stand with the armor of God on you. Wow. What does stand mean? Well, to us, it means we're going to be attacked. We're not supposed to be afraid if we're standing. We're not slouching, uncertain of what we're going to do, half-hearted. There's no poor me, the devil's coming. No self-pity at all, folks. Because you're standing in the power of God. And we're at position, and we're alert. Talk to Jay Brown here. If an attack is coming to him, he's skilled in what he knows, and he positions himself for when that guy gets to him. Yeah, don't mess with him. He's a black belt. And the last thing it tells us is if you're standing, retreat is not an option. So let's look at the spiritual armor that God has given us. The first thing he gave us was the girdle of truth. Girdle, yeah, your waist with truth. So we have this girdle. Think of it kind of as both a belt and suspenders combined into one piece. Almost like a contractor's belt that puts on. It's kind of got shoulder straps that, and all these pockets to put all these tools in or weapons. And it holds all the rest of your armor together because you have other armor that you're going to put on. The truth, because Jesus is the truth is this integrating force that this harness that the soldier put on that holds everything together. It holds your life together. It holds your thoughts together. Uh, The believer whose life is controlled by truth will defeat the father of lies. And we know who that is. A person of integrity, having a clear conscience, can face the enemy with no fear. And unless we practice the truth, how can we use the Word of God to fight with? You're saying something, but you don't live that. And they see right through you. That's why a parent can't really say to a child, do as I say, not as I do. That's not right. The parent should be living the life that he wants to teach his child. And so Paul says, know the truth and live the truth, and you'll defeat the devil. Because once a lie gets into our life, everything starts falling apart. Because somebody will find out about it and pick it away, and when you're trying to make a stand, they'll say, but you did this. And then the next thing after this harness is on, we put on the breastplate of righteousness, and that locks into the harness. Because a Roman soldier wore a breastplate, and it was made of metal plates that overlapped, or sometimes they were made of metal chains that were woven, and it covered them from the neck to the waist, front and back. And it symbolized what covers us, and that's the righteousness of Jesus Christ, as well as our righteous life in Christ. Because Satan's our accuser. And he can't accuse a believer who's living a godly life. Because we're living in the power of the Holy Spirit. He has no toehold. The life that we live is either going to fortify us against Satan, or it's going to make him easier for him to attack us. Now, it's not our own earned righteousness. It's not just a feeling of righteousness. It's the righteousness received by faith in Jesus Christ. And that gives us that confidence that we are standing firm and our position is strong. And he says, okay, you need something on your feet, so put on the boots of the gospel. Roman soldiers in those days didn't have boots, so they wore sandals. But the sandals they wore were special. They had these spikes coming through the sole that stuck down just enough to give them firm footing and traction where they wouldn't slip. If we're going to stand, if we're going to withstand, we need the shoes of the gospel. And our peace comes from God through the gospel. So do not fear any attack from Satan. Do not fear any attack from men. What can man do to me? Fear him who can kill the body and the soul. But the boots of the gospel have another meaning, really. We must prepare each day to share the gospel of peace with a lost soul, a lost world. Whoever the Lord puts in front of you is an opportunity. And if we wear the boots of the gospel, you're going to have beautiful feet. That's right here in the Bible. Beautiful feet. Isaiah 52. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, saying to Zion, your God reigns. And we sing that song, Our God Reigns. You and I are ambassadors of peace. And even though Satan's declared war on us, Take up the gospel of peace. Bring it with you wherever you go. So if the gospel of peace is what prepares and gives us the sure footing, no matter how powerful the rest of our body is, it's useless if you're wounded in your feet because you can't move, you can't stand, and you become easy prey for the enemy. That's why our soldiers today wear boots. And above all, okay, now Paul's getting serious. Verse 16, above all, you've done all this so far, but he says, take up the shield of faith. Because with that, you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Roman soldiers carried shields. They had two shields. They had this round one that used to go on the arm where they could defend off and they could fight with the other hand. And they had a big one. It was about 4 feet high, 2 feet wide. Sometimes it was made of a wood material. It was covered with a heavy leather. And the sides of the shields were so designed that soldiers standing together, they would interlock. And it would create one solid wall of shield. And they could just march forward to the enemy. And all the darts coming at them and the fiery arrows didn't bother them. And that's what Paul's saying here. We're not in the battle alone. We got Christians to the left of us and Christians to the right of us. And we're all interweaving our faith together to create this big shield that the devil can't get through. And as we grow in grace and as we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, we become stronger. And because the truth is in Jesus, the truth sets us free. You don't have to worry. Just go to work. You got the truth of Christ with you. And he says, bring along with you the sword of the Spirit, though. Now the sword, not like most of the other things that Paul talked about being a defensive weapon, is an offensive weapon. It attacks. And you all know a metal sword can pierce through the body. And we know the Word of God pierces the heart all the way down to the bone and marrow. But the more you use a physical sword, the duller it gets. The more you use God's Word, it becomes sharper and sharper. And here's the good thing. The physical sword, I have to hold it. It requires a hand. But the sword of the Spirit has its own power. It's living and it's powerful. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan, he used the sword of the Spirit to defeat him. He used the Word of God. 3 times Jesus said, "It is written." But remember, Satan can quote God's word, except he doesn't quite quote it exactly right. He tweaks it or he leaves stuff out, which is why you have to read the word. You have to know the truth, or Satan's going to twist it around just a little bit. So in a sense now, wrapping this all up, the whole armor of God is a picture of Jesus Christ. Because Christ is the truth. He's our righteousness. He's our peace. His faithfulness makes our faith possible. He's our salvation. And he is the Word. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, and the Word. That means when we trust Christ, we have given all this armor. But we have to put it on every morning if we want victory. And the final thing Paul says is don't forget to pray. Verse 18. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me. So we're supposed to pray for all other believers and all pastors everywhere because they need it. Satan doesn't attack a person that is not doing any damage to his cause. So Lord, Heavenly Father, as we dissipate from this gathering today, provide for us all this armor, all this protection, and give us that desire and this will and the yearning to be your soldier and listen to you and believe your word. And when you say, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, we will do that. And we won't make things up to try to help you out. Strengthen us in your word. Strengthen us in the Holy Spirit. That we will be a faithful witness to you. And in that last day, every one of us will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome into the joy of the Lord. We come to you in Jesus' name. Amen.